Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Ham Nation is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of Ham Nation is brought to you by Hover. Finding the perfect domain name is incredibly easy with Hover. Go to hover.com/twit and save 10% off your first purchase. By FreshBooks, the ridiculously easy-to-use cloud accounting software used by over 10 million people. Try it free for 30 days at freshbooks.com/hamnation. And by ICOM. For more information, visit icomamerica.com/hamnation.
This is Ham Nation, episode number 312 for August 9th, 2017. Let's talk about L and Pi. It's K9EID. I'm back, and you are here watching Ham Nation, a great show about ham radio and all of the excitement that it brings. And we have the A-team minus George tonight. George is out. I think he's fixing transmitters or something. But, boy, lots of great stuff tonight. So put away the magazines and quit fiddling with your with all your video games because, boy, we got lots happening. Let's go see who, first of all, ladies first. Valerie, welcome back. Welcome home, I guess it is, right?
Thanks, Bob. I'm not sure if the camera's on me. I can't see a thing with these on. These are my solar eclipse glasses. Getting ready for the solar eclipse in less than 2 weeks. I'm going to put these up to the camera. You see that? That's what you see. That's how dark they are. Got these. Got my welding goggles, too. So I got stuff for our camera. We're all ready for the solar eclipse. Can't wait for August 21st. Glad to be back, be on the show, and we're going to be talking about that in a little bit, Bob.
All right. Well, it's good to have you back. I know you'll have more about the trip, but we'll get into some contest stuff tonight with you, too. And Randy is with us. Randy, K7AGE. Randy, you always are sending us great videos, but welcome to the live shots tonight. How are you?
I'm doing good, Bob. How are you doing?
So far, we're good. So far.
That's good. That's good. Yeah, thanks for having me on here. It's been kind of a busy summer. The sun's come out, so not spending as much time in front of the workbench. So the videos have been a little slower.
Well, we appreciate all you do. And, of course, we can't forget Don. Don, how you doing? And a nice shirt you have on. Wow, cool.
Thanks. Well, yeah, Andy sent me this from Hawaii. So thanks, Andy. Appreciate it. This is love it. It's got surfboards and cars and airplanes and a lot of my favorite things on here. So absolutely love it. Last night was hanging out on WTWW, the big shortwave, for my first Tuesday thing. And in fact, if you turn on 5085, and 12.105 right now on WTWW, you will hear audio from Ham Nation because they carry it live on WTWW. So people around the world are listening to us right now. Pretty exciting stuff. And yeah, the solar eclipse coming up on the 21st, we'll have Dr. Tamitha Scove coming up with her solar update. She will not be with us tonight via video, so when she comes back, hopefully next week, she's had an extremely busy schedule. We hope to have a presentation from her on the solar eclipse and maybe an after-action report. But coming up just before the solar eclipse, kind of a cool thing for us at Newsline, the Young Ham of the Year Award, where we will announce Marty Sulloway, KC1CWF, as the 2017 Bill Pasternak Young Ham of the Year recipient, and that is going to be in Huntsville, Alabama, on August the 19th. So we hope to see everyone there, Bob.
All right. Well, we're looking forward to the solar eclipse. We'll have more about that, I'm sure. Gordo is with us. He'll be in just a little bit. So he's out checking all of his antennas right now. But hang on, because Gordo's got some great shots tonight. And we'll look at those in a few minutes here. But, of course, we always know who's going to end this program, and that's Amanda, and she's getting Jeff all lined up to get her cameras all fixed up. So they'll be along too. So I told you we have a full house tonight. So let's get started. We're going to switch it up a little bit. We're going to start with Newsline. Don, tell us a little bit about what's going on in amateur radio this week.
Let's jump into it.
Radio Newsline Report number 2075. These are the Ham Nation headlines for Wednesday, August 9th, 2017. 2017 Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF Young Ham of the Year, Marty Sulloway, KC1CWF, tops this week's amateur radio newsline. Of course, there's way too much to tell you here. You can hear all about Marty in this week's full amateur radio newsline report, and we invite you to join us and meet Marty at the Huntsville Ham Fest, Saturday, August 19th in Huntsville, Alabama. We've been covering the airborne adventures of one ham trying to retrace and complete Amelia Earhart's ill-fated voyage of 80 years ago. We're happy to tell you that trip has reached a very happy end. The Spirit has landed. With the single-engine aircraft's wheels once again on the ground, rest assured that the traveling days of pilot Brian Lloyd, WB6RQN, aren't over just yet. He completed his around-the-world tribute flight to Amelia Earhart with a July 31st landing at California's Oakland Airport. The 80th anniversary flight honoring Earhart's final trip is in the books. While logging all those miles and all those QSOs too, Brian faced some technical as well as bureaucratic challenges. As of production deadline at Newsline, he was on his way safely home to Spring Branch, Texas, with a stopover at Earhart's Atchison, Kansas birthplace. And thus, Brian Lloyd pays Amelia Earhart his final tribute. Here comes the sun, or rather, there goes the sun, as an eclipse moves in on August 21st. So, what happens to emergency communications?
As the saying goes, when all else fails, ham radio. In this case, with the coming of a total solar eclipse, what's going to fail, in a manner of speaking, is the sun itself, at least for a short while. Emergency dispatch centers around central Oregon aren't taking any chances. Oregon is expected to have a 70-mile-wide zone of totality when the eclipse happens. According to a report in the Central Oregon Bulletin, a number of emergency services personnel are already making plans that include area amateur radio operators so that emergency calls still get through. Nathan Garibay, a sergeant with the Deschutes County Sheriff's Office and emergency services manager for the county, has coordinated with Don Shurtleff, WB0DVS, information officer for the Deschutes County Amateur Radio Emergency Service and the High Desert Amateur Radio Group. Shurtleff's team will staff a joint information center throughout the eclipse, joining others from emergency response teams from around the region. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jim Dameron in a TMW.
This month's eclipse is also turning into an amateur radio project for a college team based in Virginia.
A senior at Virginia Tech is using her Blacksburg, Virginia backyard as a kind of propagation laboratory. Magda Moses, KM4EGE, is part of a team of students and faculty who, like so many others, are eagerly awaiting the solar eclipse on August 21. The group is hoping to study changes that occur in the ionosphere during the total solar eclipse. It is the first such eclipse to be visible from the U.S. since 1979. Faculty and students will be monitoring radio waves from locations in Oregon, where the eclipse will begin, Kansas, the eclipse's midpoint, and South Carolina as the eclipse departs. Magda's backyard has been outfitted with four pole-mounted antennas. The team will analyze data they collect about how radio waves behave when the moon blocks the sun's radiation from entering the ionosphere, exactly what will be happening as the eclipse occurs. Those few moments are the students' only chance to be doing this as undergraduates. The next such eclipse won't be happening until 2024. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Mike Askins, KE5-CXP.
For the rest of this week's Amateur Radio News, please listen to the full Amateur Radio Newsline report online, on a repeater near you, or on shortwave radio station WTWW at 9930 and 5085 kilohertz. And that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news for four decades and counting at www.arnewsline.org. With Jim Dameron in 8TMW, Mike Askins, KE5CXP, Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team across the globe, I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW73. We'll see you next time here on Ham Nation.
There's another group of young hams who are spearheading a propagation study in conjunction with the eclipse. KC2LRC, Sam Rose, and Sterling Coffee, K0SSC, I believe is Sterling's call sign. They have a website called hamsci.org, H-A-M-S-C-I, as in ham radio science, hamsci.org. If you go there and click on projects, you'll see the solar eclipse CUSO party and information on how you can be a part of a great experiment on how the ionosphere and propagation change as the shadow transits. Hamsci.org. Click on projects and you'll find everything you need to know about what Sam and Sterling are doing. And it is just amazing, guys. Just absolutely amazing. Happy to call them friends. Somebody else I'm happy to call friend is Dr. Tamitha Scove. She sent us some slides tonight as she's not with us video-wise. So I will relate to you what she told me. Checking the solar storm conditions in Aurora Outlook. Even though Region 2670 has been pretty quiet, we do have a coronal hole that will be sending us some fast wind later this week. Storming is not expected to be extremely strong, but there is a chance for Aurora to the mid-latitudes. That means that the amateur radio bands will likely be impacted starting as early as Thursday or Friday. Minor issues could continue through the early weekend before things calm back down. Looking at the solar flare and particle radiation outlook, Region 2670, that is the sunspot that caused so many problems about a month ago when it was last on the Earth-facing disk, has not only calmed down, it's pretty much gone to sleep. There is no risk for M flares, which is good news for the bands. But it also means that the solar flux isn't as high as we would like. Since Region 2670 is the only sunspot on the Earth-facing disk, expect the solar flux to remain on the low side of marginal for radio propagation this week. And I highly suggest you go and follow her on Twitter, at Tamitha Scove, and also check out spaceweatherwoman.com for her website. Good stuff from Dr. Tamitha Scove, and hopefully she'll be back next week with some video on exactly what happened with the eclipse. Should be very, very interesting. I want to tell you about something else that's pretty interesting. If you have a website, this is a service that you need. It's called Hover. And this episode of Ham Nation is brought to you by Hover. When you have a great idea for a blog or a startup, having a great domain name is key. That can almost make or break you. With Hover, it is incredibly easy to set up your domain name with the most popular website builders, and Hover has over 400 domain extensions, all the classics like .com and .net. But you can also have niche extensions like .design and .tech, something quirky maybe like .pizza, .ninja, .horse, .unicorn. I don't know, just thinking off the top of my head. Once you find your domain, you can use Hover Connect to set up your domain automatically with your website. It just takes a few clicks. You also can get it to use it to get a more on-brand or professional email address. Your domain works with whatever email programs you're already using, so no worries there. When all you want to do is buy a domain name or an email address, you should not have to opt out of page after page of add-ons that you don't want or don't need. That's why Hover only offers domains and email. You can focus on finding your great domain name and get back to working on your great idea. And unlike most other domain providers, Hover includes free Whois privacy with all supported domains to keep your information, confidential, the way it should be. And if you already have multiple domains scattered across other domain providers, you can save money by bringing them all over to Hover. Eligible domains will include Whois privacy, and you can get volume discounts. The more domains you have in your account, the more a discount Hover will automatically apply to your account. With Hover, there's no more digging through help articles to figure out how to get your domain working. If you need a hand, you can give them a call. Hover's awesome support team is there to help you. No annoying phone trees or transferring to another department. It's easy. Find a domain name for your idea. Go to hover.com/twit. Get 10% off your first purchase. hover.com/twit. Hover, domain names for your ideas. I wonder if you can get .pineboard. Bob, that's what you need. You need .pineboard.
Yeah, maybe we should do that. The way it's growing, oh my goodness. Well, it just continues on, and I really appreciate all of the cards, letters, and everything else. And people are keeping up. QRZ has a host of forums and eham, as well as heilsound.com. That's where we're putting all of the video clips are really really grateful to Brian. I know it takes a lot of work to do that, but he's pulling out just the video clips of the various ones, and got a couple more we'll be putting up soon. But all of the diagrams from Gene and the schematics, they're all there. So you go to heilsound.com, H-E-I-L-S-O-U-N-D, heilsound.com, and you'll see a lot of things. Plus, there's a lot of comments and answers there, so you want to take care of that and make sure that you check into that, because that really works well when you go in and see the diagrams live. So we're going to make that all happen. Well, we're going to get started here tonight. First of all, I continue to warn you, we're dealing with high voltage here, and I get letters from guys and gals. Come on, guys. We all know we're dealing with high voltage, and we want to teach you to respect that voltage, no matter if it's 12 volts or 150 volts. And so that's going along well. Everybody is paying a lot of attention to that. One of the things that I'm getting an awful lot of requests for are the parts list. And this is the parts list from the preamp. And again, that's up on the website. And if you go to AES, that's Antique Electronic Supply, if you go to their site and put in Ham Nation, you'll see these parts lists all show up. But there's the part list right there, PBH. MP, and you can see it's Pine Board Bob Heil mic preamp. They didn't know what else to call it, but they assigned that number to all of those parts for the preamp. The transmitter, same way. You go to their website, and there's all of the parts for the transmitter, and you can also see the parts, the part list for that, the number for that. It's PBH. Pine Board AM transmitter. You put that number in and order it, and you're going to get all of those parts from them. Now, here's the key. You'll notice that Gene has really put this together nicely. W4IQN, I don't know what we'd do without him. He's got A's and B's and C's. What that means, AES doesn't carry everything. So down here, all of the A's are going to come from SND Tube Sales, and there's their website. And so on all Radio Days, MFJ, boy, we appreciate what they've done, and we're going to get into that in a minute. And the crystals are from AF4K, really nice work. So there's all of the things, and there you go when you line it all up from Antique Electronic Supply for these last two parts. What I want to do tonight is we're going to focus a little more on the transmitter. We worked it over and got it going and all of that. But, come on here. What we want to do is talk a little bit about the output section, because all of this is pretty rudimentary, wiring the sockets. We've shown you that. We've got some really nice pictures on the site about that. We did last week. But we haven't talked a lot about the coils. And we've got to talk about the coil. Now, yes, you can wire your own. And that's kind of fun to do. But if you're not sure of yourself and you want to just go do it and have it made for you, MFJ has done it. We really appreciate them doing this. And I'm just so thrilled. And what they've done is taken a coil from one of their amplifiers, and they've cut it down so that it will be exactly the turns we need. I think it's 41 or 2 turns, all ready to go. Now, there's one interesting thing, and everybody's asking me about what is that? That is the tap for 40 meters. And boy, does that work slick. I'll show you here in a minute. I've got the real deal here. But what you do is you short out effectively all of those coils. We're only dealing with that much to the antenna. 75 meters, we get the whole thing. It comes out of the final amplifier 6AG7, and we go all the way through the whole works to the coax connector. But for 40 meters, we need to shorten that. So all we do is we take the antenna lead and put it here. So we don't use much of the coil except for 75. And it really works great. And we'll get into that in a minute. I got another little detail to show you about that. Now, to really bring this home, I made this real crude. I know it's a, you guys in the chat room are always kidding me about my drawings. But guess what? It works. If you remember what we did on the transmitter, the schematics of it, what is shown is the output section with the coil tap. And we're going to talk about just this final. And what we're talking about is right here. That's what we're going to show you here. Pay attention now. Here's the way it lays out. When you have the coil all set up and all that kind of good stuff, you come out of the plate of the 6AG7. That was the 2.5 millihenry choke. And there's the 500 puff that could be 0.0047 or a 500. That is the capacitor that carries that RF into the coil. And this is the plate tuning. And that will resonate that coil with a 50-ohm load. We got a 50-ohm impedance out here. When you put a 50-ohm load on this, this will tune perfectly to 75 meters, wherever your crystal is. And it works really good. Now, here's that 40-meter thing. When we have that clip, that little alligator clip, we short out those coils so that we only use that much of the coil. And it works really good. And if you really want to get into this, and we'll do this later, you can add another capacitor. It's going to be bigger. It's a 720 puff. This is your load. This is the plate tuning. Why do you have this? What's it all about? Well, this is an L network, what we're dealing with here. And this network, we're dealing with high impedance that coming out of that tube. And we have to be able to tune 50 ohms. That's what all of this is doing. It gets the impedance lower right at 50 ohms and tunes it to the frequency of your crystal. And if you want to really do this right, go in and add this 720 puff, and now you have a plate and a load. And this will help you make sure this is 50 ohms. If you've got an antenna that's not quite 50 ohms, this load capacitor will help you tune that a little better. And that's really important. But it works fine without it if you have a 50-ohm antenna. I've been working every morning that I'm here. I'm out working 200, 250 miles with this little puppy of 5 watts, and I'm only using an L network. And it works really good. This is a pi network when you have both plate and load capacitors. So we're really on top of all of this as far as making it work each day. I'm so thrilled. Now, this is a picture of Gene's coil that he made, and it's really nice. What he's done here is beautiful. Nice work. And he did it with this, it's called cable comb, that he got at Lowe's. And he's taken that and laid it across a PVC. I'll show you in a minute how he did it, the full instructions. And all of this will be up on the website. And you just simply wind your wire through all of that. And You got it. It's so simple. Here's how Gene did that. And Gene, I compliment you on this. This is great, buddy. It's just terrific. And it's going to let a lot of guys wind their own coils, and they're going to work well. You start off with a Schedule 20 PVC-based 2-inch PVC and slit it, and then put a couple of wedges in there so that you make it a little bit bigger. Then you wrap that PVC with wax paper and align those combs around the outer piece of part of the PVC on the wax paper, and you secure it with nylon. That really works great. Take a nylon wire and make everything in place, and then wrap your 14 gauge or 16 gauge wire for your coil. When that's all done, epoxy those, and when the epoxy dries, pull out the coil form, which is the PVC, look what you have. That is pretty cool. And it's a pretty looking thing. My goodness, how nice is that? And so there's your coil forms and how that works. It works really good. Now, one thing I want to go back to, and a couple of letters about this. You could take a band switch. And this is not going to work on 20 meters very well, but you could do it. And how we do it in the world of the big world of multiband transmitters is they have a band switch. And that band switch allows us to switch things around with the front panel band switch. And all you do... Now, this is fascinating to a lot of guys when I show them this. This is what's behind the front panel on transmitter. There's the plate, 365 puff. There's the load at 720. We just saw that. And there's the coil. Look what they've done. They've tapped it. And there's the 75 meters going to be the whole coil. But then here's 40 meters. Here's 20 meters. So on, and that's done with a switch, just like this. And that's how it's done. You think about these things, and you think, oh, look at all the wild things. No, it's not wild. It's not wild at all. It's that right there. In the band switch, we're doing it, we're doing it with an alligator clip. But you don't have to. You could use a switch. It works great. So those are some of the cool things that happen when you're doing a lot of this stuff and learning how it works. See, that's my whole goal here is to help you learn about some of this stuff. This is that transmitter that we built. This was the first one. I had one guy ask me, he said, what's that big dent for? Well, that dent is our 40-meter tap. Back that out so you can see it a little better. That's the 40-meter tap right there. And how you do that is real simple. You take a screwdriver and a little hammer and bend it. You want to break it, but that wire's really tough in this coil. That's the MFJ coil you're looking at. I think it's $6. Thank you so much, MFJ, for this. This really solves a lot of problems. And all you do is bend it down just a little bit so that you can take your lead with the little alligator clip and clip her in there, and away you go. So that's that answers a lot of things. Bill K400 sent me a really nice letter, and he wasn't sure about some of this stuff, and I think we've answered all of it right here for you. At least that was what I was trying to do, Bill. And if I didn't, why, let me know, because we can give you a buzz on the phone or get on the air. 3885 every morning, you'll find me at 9 o'clock with that. So thanks, everybody, and I appreciate the time to be able to bring you up to speed, and we'll have more next week. And be sure and check out the HighOffSound.com, because down at the bottom of the pages, is the Pine Board section. So we'll see you there, I'm sure. But make your soldering iron do something. Heat it up. We're having way too much fun, though. I'm going to kick this over to Valerie. Val, it's so nice to see you, and I'm glad that you're home. I know you and Jerry had a great time, so let's hear a little bit about what's going on.
You know, doing that, it reminded me of back when I first was making my first manual tuner. I didn't have the right PVC pipe, so I had a rolling pin that I used to make my coil, and it slid right off nicely. It was like it's a marble rolling pin that I have, but anyway, so you can use what you got. I went through all those packages and mail I have on the couch, and I did want to tell Andy, yes, I did get my Hawaiian shirt. Thank you, K-E-0-A-Y-J. I'll let you know if it fits next time I'm on, so thank you so much. And we've got some DX coming up. We're getting into the fall, so there's a little bit of DX out there. So let's start with our DX report. So for the next week or so, right now, we've got Mayotte Island going on right now, and he's going to be there till the 14th. As a matter of fact, he just got spotted on 40 CW. So as soon as I hang up here, I'm going to work that guy. Samoa, there's two different people going to Samoa. One's now through the 15th, and the other one's the 19th through the 26th. So make sure you get on and work those guys, not to be confused with American Samoa. Antarctica's going on right now. He's there for a year, FT3YL. Now, he is a brand new ham, so please be patient while he tries to maneuver those pileups. And we've got a bunch of contests coming up. Worked all Europe and CW this weekend, and the Maryland DC QSO party, NAQP sideband next weekend, which is a big one. And of course, the big solar eclipse party. If you want more info on that, go to hamsci.org at /SEQP, which stands for Solar Eclipse QSO Party. I'm going to be out there in the solar eclipse viewing. See that little flower there? If you zoom in, that's where I'll be viewing the eclipse. So I got a really good location at Land Between the Lakes. So make sure when you do this, you use your solar glasses. You need 12 or higher. These are 12 welding glasses, goggles. These are 14. And make sure you have something for your camera as well. And on a personal note, August 21st is the solar eclipse. It's also my son's 21st birthday on the 21st. So we're going to have a ball with that. So, I also want to mention, hot off the presses, didn't have time to put in the DX report. Marty Lane and Henry, OH2BH and OH3JR, they're going to be on Market Reef August 12th through the 19th. That's a really good one. They're going to be Oscar Juliet Zero Bravo Hotel and Oscar Juliet Zero Juliet Romeo. So look for those guys the 12th through the 19th. Also, earlier today, I did work South Sudan, had a really good signal on 20 meters, Zulu 81 Delta. So look for that guy. I couldn't get any information on how long he's there, so try and get him while you can. Also, regular Sudan, not to be confused with South Sudan, there's a scout troop there, ST60JOTA, Jamboree on the Air. So they're celebrating Jamboree on the Air from Sudan. So there's a couple more countries for you to get. So that's all I've got. So I'm going to head it over to Don, who's going to talk about something that's kind of near and dear to my heart. It's been my profession pretty much my whole life. So, Don, why don't you take it away?
Wait, let me get this straight. We got the Sudan and we got South Sudan. We got Samoa.
Market
we got an American Samoa.
No, it's not American Samoa. It's Samoa.
I know, but what I'm saying is it's very confusing because you've got Samoa and American Samoa, and you got it's kind of like that comedian that wore his big pants. I forget his name now, but he talked about Big Petey and Little Petey and Medium Petey and all the boys that he grew up with. I don't know why I just thought of that.
Junior what? Junior Samples?
No, not Junior Samples. BR549. No, that's an entirely different thing. Let's just quit while we're ahead, shall we? I think the medication's gotten to both of us. Let's talk about FreshBooks. FreshBooks has an all-new version of their cloud accounting software. I don't know about you, but numbers makes my hair hurt. So if I can find somebody to deal with numbers for me, I'm all for it. And if you can put it in the cloud, that's even better because that's pretty much where my head stays anyway. Cloud accounting software, FreshBooks. The new version will make running your business easy, fast, and secure. FreshBooks dashboard gives you quick access to your spending, outstanding balances, total profit, and accounting reports like sales tax summary, profit and loss. Time tracking features make it easy to bill for time by client and by specific projects. You just press play to track your time to the minute, and when it comes time to create an invoice, you'll know what you did and when you did it. And you can now assign services to projects and designate different rates for each service. You can bill more accurately for your time. Send professional-looking invoices online. Get paid an average of 11 days faster. Who doesn't like that? And with FreshBooks Payments, your customers can pay straight from their invoice. And here's the cool part. See what invoices have been sent, have been viewed, and have been paid. No more of that, oh, no, it got lost in the email. I never got that. Well, let's see. I'm looking at this, and it says you viewed that. You can also brand and set recurring invoices, send automatic payment reminders, or set automatic late fees. Stay connected with your clients. Keep tabs on your business no matter where you are with the FreshBooks app. Snap a photo of your receipt or connect your bank account and credit card to automatically import expenses daily. You see where we're going with this? This will revolutionize everything having to do with your business accounting. FreshBooks also integrates with Stripe, Shopify, Gusto, Acuity Scheduling, and more. And FreshBooks adds new features and improvements to their platform on a weekly basis. You can now reward prompt clients and encourage customer loyalty by adding discounts to recurring templates. Open any invoice in the new browser tab window so you can work across several invoices simultaneously. It's no wonder FreshBooks was included in the Forbes Small Giants list for 2017. You can try FreshBooks for free for 30 days at FreshBooks.com/HamNation. Enter HamNation in the How Did You Hear About Us section. FreshBooks.com/HamNation. Enter HamNation in that How Did You Hear About Us section. And FreshBooks, thank you so much for your support of what we do here on Ham Nation. And George is out playing with transmitters and towers and broadcast stuff, oh my. So we've got Randy in. Randy, what's going on tonight, sir? Good to see you back on here.
Oh, thanks, Don. It's having a lot of fun here. Just before we start here on the little project for tonight, I just want to let people know I am working on getting new QSL cards for Oregon for the Ham Nation 300 event station. So when I get those in, hopefully soon, I'll get those sent out to the people who sent me in the cards. So this tonight, we're going to talk about a little more about the little SWR, or probably in this project, just use the forward output for a relative power indicator, because this would be perfect to mount on your pine board to give you a relative output. So here's the schematic. I'm not sure how well that's going to show up, but if you just want to use it for relative power, you can just kind of leave off part of this, and you just take that black wire that was on Bob's schematic going over to the RF connector and pass it through the toroid here, and you'll be able to see your relative power output. So, Brian, let's go to the video, and we'll bring you more up to date on the construction of the little circuit here.
Hi, Randy, K7AGE. Now it's time to continue on with my SWR bridge and start soldering the parts onto the terminal strip. Let's get going. Okay, I'm ready to start. I'm going to be following my drawing here. I'm just going to set that aside and have the terminal strip and the vise. And I've soldered up my 100-ohm resistors in parallel. And now I'm going to mount this one. And I'm going to put it from here to up there. So I'm just going to bend the lead down like this through the hole. And I'm going to keep it up off here a little bit. This over to here and bend this down. That should fit in there. Okay. I'm going to bring this around and bend that back like that. I'll hold it up with the pliers. Bring that around. I'm not going to solder these, but I will cut off the excess leads. And I place the second 50 ohm, the pair of 100 ohm resistors, between these two solder lugs. So I'm not going to show mounting every single part as we go along. You kind of get the idea. So now I have the two diodes mounted with the cathodes towards these two center lugs, because these will be the pickoffs for the forward and reverse. And I mounted one of the capacitors and 220k ohm resistors from the end of this diode over the ground on the backside. I originally was going to put it on the front, but I think that'll work all right. The capacitor lead's kind of short, so I have to make sure that it doesn't short out against these other two lugs. And I mounted the other capacitor and 220K ohm resistor from this diode over to this ground lug here. So I think I'm ready now to prepare the toroids to be mounted. So I've trimmed my coil leads here for the terminal strip, and now I need to scrape off the enamel. So one way, you can just use a knife edge, and just kind of scrape along here, and you can take and remove all of the enamel coating. You can see I'm getting some bits on the green mat, or with a little bit of sandpaper, fold that over. You can kind of sand that off. So keep working with the sandpaper, keep going back and forth, and just kind of give the toroid a twist, and in a little bit you'll have it all cleaned up. So before we get too far along, we should talk about these dots that are on the toroids. Now these are transformers. So what this means is that the winding here and the winding there are in this same relationship, and so therefore the voltage will be in the same relationship. If we look at this drawing, it shows it much more simplified. We show a transformer, and these two ends have the dots on them. So that means the output voltage is following the input voltage. If you have the polarity switched around, then the output phase will be 180 degrees out. So what this means is that when we install the toroids, we need to make sure that we get these windings in the same relationship. If we look at the coil close up, you can see the wire here that's coming out on the bottom. As I pass the red wire through, you can see the ends of both the red wire and the enameled wire are passing through the center in the same direction. So they are in the same polarity. When I move the wire around to the other lead, you can see that the red wire is coming out on one side of the toroid and the other wire is coming out on the other side. So those two wires are not in correct polarity. And to help me keep it straight, which end is which, I placed a piece of red insulation down over what I'm going to call the dotted end. So I'm ready to mount the toroids onto the terminal strip. So I have my drawing for the terminal strip, my two toroids, and my schematic. And I've numbered all of the lugs on the terminal strip, and I've gone through it, and I've identified which wire for the toroids goes on which lug. I've actually rewound the toroids to make them come out the way they look on my drawing here. So that only took a couple minutes to pull the wires out and wind it the way I've shown here. So now I'm ready to place them onto the terminal strip. So I have the toroids mounted on the solder lugs here. This is T1. You can see the two dotted leads going through in the same direction, so they're correct. And the output side of the one turn goes towards the transmitter. This is T2. Again, you can see the two dotted leads, or the two leads with the red insulation on it, are going through in the same direction. So this is on pin 7, pin 6, passes through and goes over to 2 and 3. And when I get these soldered up, I can move things around so nothing gets shorted here. So, okay, time to start soldering. Always place the iron away from the things you want to solder. Just let the heat build up. And solder the wires. So I'll put the iron in the opposite area from where I want to solder. Let the lug heat up. There it goes. Feed the solder in. It flows around everything, and everything will flow. There it is, nice and hot and filled. Just a dab on the iron. That helps with the heat transfer. Again, feed the solder in and let it flow. Just give it time. It'll flow. Fill up the hole in the solder lug, and you're all set. And move it on to the one lead of the toroid there. And there we go. And I think we're done. Well, I think I'm about done for this video. I got this all assembled now, and now I got to figure out how I'm going to maybe mount this and with some connectors and stuff. So in my next video, we'll figure that out. So thanks for watching. Randy, K7AGE.
Okay, very good. And here we are again. I just got a little question from Marty in the chat room wondering if this was 40 meter specific. And no, it's not. Though with this open construction, it's probably better to be used on the lower HF bands than on the higher frequencies. So over the next couple of weeks, I will get this going and do another video and show you it working. But this is something else you could add to your pine board project. And at that, let's have a few words from ICOM.
Heard it, worked it, logged it. Contest season is here. ICOM's high-performance and innovative transceivers will help you make the most out of contest season. Continue your contesting momentum with the IC7300. Ideal for the ham on the go, it's a high-performance HF transceiver with a compact design, RF direct sampling, 15 discrete bandpass filters, large 4.3-inch color touchscreen, real-time spectrum scope, and SD memory card slot. The IC7851 will give you the competitive edge you've been looking for. Raise the bar and hear what others cannot with this HF 50 MHz transceiver. Reciprocal mixing dynamic range, crystal clear local oscillator design, spectrum scope, dual receivers, and digital voice recorder. And don't forget about the ICOM IC7700 and IC7600 radios. Both of these top-of-the-line transceivers are still available and sure to be the perfect companion for this contesting season. Visit ICOMAmerica.com/amateur for more information on all the great ICOM radios.
Hey, I want to tell you about ICOM's Ham Nation Grand Prize winner for July. The ID4100A went to William, KG4AQH. You too can win a radio. Tune in and enter to win after each episode of Ham Nation. Go to ICOMAmerica.com/Ham Nation. You can register to win some great swag prizes like T-shirts and hats. And, of course, while you're there, you can be like William and learn how you can win the monthly grand prize drawing for a new ICOM radio this month. It's that ID4100A dual-band VHF-UHF one-band-at-a-time transceiver, both analog and D-Star, the entry-level D-Star mobile with big rig features, built-in GPS receiver, full dot matrix display, micro SD card slot for voice and data storage, available Android and iOS apps, and a lot more. Go to ICOMAmerica.com/HamNation and get your name in the drawing. Sign up. Good luck. And be sure to follow ICOM America Inc. on Facebook and Twitter. And you, too, can be a big winner from ICOM America and Ham Nation. Let's go see what is going on the left coast. Gordo's with us. How you doing, Gordo?
Incoming, and ICOM will be there this weekend, and that is the Perseids meteor shower. Let's take a look and see what this meteor shower this weekend is all about. Well, those of you going to the Albuquerque, New Mexico Hamfest this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, on Friday night and Saturday night and early Sunday morning, you're going to see a meteor shower that is called Perseids. And Perseids will be coming in at about one every 45 seconds, and they will create an area up in the E layer of reflection off the meteor trails. And as the Perseids give off their trails, radio signals will bounce off of the trails. And not only will you might be able to see things, but in a moment we'll tell you how you can hear things. So Perseids. Perseids is our largest meteor scatter contact potential. It all occurs up in the E layer of the ionosphere. And when Perseids hits, that's when the real excitement comes up. But we've got to dodge the moon in the same time, because when the moon comes up, it's going to mask some of the Perseids. So as you can see here, Perseids is the biggie. Now, these are zingers. They won't be easily seen if the moon is somewhere up in the sky. The moon is only going to be about one-third of being full. So we've got a pretty good chance of seeing a lot of zingers way out there. But the biggies are the fireballs. And these are the ones that on VHF, can extend a communications range to 500 and 600, 700 miles. And during the communications exchange, you give a signal report and you say your grid square, and be as quick as possible, because when these big fireballs hit, they're only going to give about 10 or 15 seconds of radio communications for DX. Now, for those of you with the ICOM gear, another gear with a screen like this where you can look at the waterfall, you'll see signals come and go. Sometimes you'll only hear just an echo. And technician class operators make noise on 28400, because that's where everyone this weekend is going to be parked, hoping to hear some faint signals coming through. A dipole, it'll work fine for hearing Perseids. But again, you're only going to hear a couple of words. Sometimes we get a real good bounce, but normally Perseids is going to give you about 500 to 700 miles range to another station. So we hope all of you will get out there and tune around. If you got a three-element beam, aim it toward the northeast. And again, start listening right after darkness hits and start looking at that time, because once the moon comes up, it won't affect radio conditions, but it will affect you being able to see Perseids. The very best time to see the meteor shower, of course, is just before the sun comes up, when the rest of us are sleeping. And again, another zinger on the 6-meter band, 50.125, and of course on the 2-meter band, 144.200. So I guarantee this particular ICOM IC9100 is going to be very busy. And by the way, you can do it fine with an FM transceiver as well. I like tuning into an unused weather station up at 162 megahertz, because when the meteors go over from Perseids, you're going to find that weather stations will come out of nowhere, be strong for about 2 or 3 seconds, and then they are gone. Well, weekend after next, that's, of course, the Huntsville Ham Fest. Don will be there with Young Ham of the Year. Don, that's going to really be exciting for you. That's Saturday and Sunday, the 19th and the 20th. It's also the same weekend as the Lighthouse Weekend. So those of you out there on the water with your lighthouse operation, best success. And the excitement right after Huntsville, only about maybe 100 miles away from Huntsville, is going to be the solar eclipse. And the sun is going to do some amazing things. Now, when we look at the sun, it's 400 times bigger than the moon. But the moon is 400 times closer to Earth. And the sun is 100 times bigger than Earth. And Earth is 4 times bigger than the moon. This means that the sun and the moon appear the same size to us here on Earth. And it's just ripe every 40 years or so for a total eclipse for those of us in an area that has been predetermined. Now, this is Tracy, WM6T. He's up in the mountains, but he's always got his scopes all set on finding where the best spot to be. So only 1,000 miles away from here in Southern California, we're going to take the communications van up to an area in Idaho. Thanks, Tracy, for leading us on this fun journey. So we're going to be taking along a lot of radio communications gear in the van, because we're going to be in an area of totality. We'll have about 30 to 40 minutes before total and another 30 to 40 after totality, and a whopping 2 minutes of complete darkness. And we're going to take down the 3-inch coil that we have here on the back of the van and put a big 5-inch coil. That's the Hi-Q antenna. We're going to be doing a lot of communications on 75 meters, on 7250, back to those folks here at this house, taking care of the house and making sure that we can stay in touch as we head northbound. So the big 5-inch coil is going to cut down on losses and hopefully give us a good signal. But most of the time, we're going to be listening and listening, and you can follow our tracks beginning about a week from now by going to APRS. On W6GPS is going to have us being tracked. I think we've got everything all tied in there. Once we get up to our secret spot up in Idaho, we're going to set up the ICOM IC9100, and we're going to tune in WWV during totality and see if we can maybe pick up on 5 megahertz WWVH out in Hawaii. And we're going to tune in the shortwave stations that Don has heard on. And we're going to tune around and see if we can meet other hams for about 2 minutes during totality. Now, what occurs is that as the sun begins to get blocked by the moon, or people say the moon takes a small bite out of the sun, it will allow those lower frequencies that are normally absorbed by ultraviolet radiation during the day to magically become alive. And we're going to check and see how long it takes for those signals to come alive. Tracy's going to bring along his helicraft, and we're going to look at the scope display as well. And we encourage all of you, whether you're in totality or not, to try and tune in, if nothing else, AM clear broadcast channels. And you can probably Google those. Don can probably tell you how. But you can Google those and tune in AM radio stations via SkyWave for a couple of minutes during totality or maybe 80 or 70%. So it's going to be fun for everyone in the United States. Now, this is our microwave setup on 10,000 megs. Nope, we're not going to bounce a signal off of meteors this weekend nor off of sunspots 2 weeks from now during the eclipse. But we're going to listen to sun noise and see what happens when the moon covers the sun. And we'll see how that noise drops down, which we think it will, even though the sun at totality will still have a ring of fire around it. They call that the diamond ring, and it's majestic. Well, at least that's what they tell me, because I've never seen it before. We'll also have a beam antenna, and we're going to see if we can get some good signals on the beam, either before, after, or during the eclipse. And we're hoping that up in Idaho, as well as other parts in the country where you may be going, that we don't have an overcast sky or fog or rain. But even if we do, it's certainly going to be apparent as things get darker and darker. And then during that 2 minutes, you're going to find that your WSPR stations are beginning to see your signal and coming up on the computer much further than you would expect ground wave. And it's going to get cold. It's going to drop 10 to 12 degrees during totality. And you'll be able to see all of the stars come out and shine brightly for the big two-minute full eclipse, thanks to this one-in-a-million operation of the sun and the moon. And here you see, now that the eclipse is beginning to fade away, radio conditions should get back to normal. Sunlight will get back to normal. And Tracy and Gordo will be back to normal. And we just encourage all of you that if you're watching it, be sure and wear your approved glasses. Not dark glasses, not welding goggles, but actually approved glasses. And as Valerie showed you, things get really dark when you have these glasses in place. So I won't be around next week or week after next, because we'll be out there chasing the eclipse. But we'll give a full report when we return at the end of the month. Again, 7250 kilohertz on the even hour, and we'll talk to you all the way up to Idaho. We'll be talking back here to the house, where we have a group of hams staying here for the full time that I'm gone, and we're going to have a great time. So that's my story, and now let's take a look, and let's see, Amanda, I think you're at about 85 to 90%. Of the eclipse. So you're going to have a great show outside of Denver. Go ahead, Amanda.
Absolutely. And what do I have? I think Val and I use the same designer. I'm pretty sure mine look exactly like hers. And I did make sure that I bought them. I did buy them on Amazon, and I made sure that they were NASA approved. So make sure you're not buying the cheapest ones out there, you guys. You want to be safe with those eyes, and especially if you're going to have your kiddos out there doing the same thing. So other things, let's see. Got my Hawaiian shirt. Thank you, Andy. It's so cool. Appreciate that. I can't wait for Hawaiian night here on Ham Nation. This is going to be a blast. All right. Next thing, last week I talked about catching some capers, some copper thieves. I'm going to show you guys just a couple of photos because I got a lot of emails saying I couldn't find any news stories on this. So just wanted to show you it was real. It really did happen. And there you go. There's one guy being held at gunpoint. And by the way, these people are definitely considered innocent until proven guilty. But I just wanted to show you. We did get them.
You can go to the next one.
There's one that was inside the building. Thank you. This guy was being held at gunpoint as well. He came out from the basement, put his hands up. He resisted a little bit. This cop, that guy was no match for this cop, by the way. And then I just wanted to show you the whole building, like in the daylight. This is when a bunch of the cops are there showing up. And then we have one shot. I think it's from inside the building where there you can see the repeater cabinet. Brian, maybe you can find that shot. Maybe not. Maybe I didn't send that one. Anyhow, they were inside cleaning up the mess during the day, and we did get them, so that was nice. All right, let's move on. Gordo, I have a couple questions for you. First of all, when you're talking about all of this wonderful Perseids contacts, what kind of exchange would you use when you're making a contact during this time frame? Just your grid square? What do you think?
I'd like to give my grid square and my call sign, but you got to do it. WB6 sent away, Delta Mike 1-3, back to you, over. And
okay, so
well, that may not be an official way of doing it because we're lacking the signal strength or the clarity codes. It's fine just to be able to hear another signal and then look it up on an ICOM grid square map and see how far you worked.
Okay, well, there you have it. It's real quick. Say it as short as possible and fast. Don't hold up that frequency saying, hey, how's the weather out there? None of that. Just move on. All right. The next thing I have is, did Randy stay with us or did he get dropped?
We dropped Randy, actually.
Oh, no problem. We'll move on. This one, Bob, is for you. WB3BJU says he is looking for the coil on MFJ website, and only the 404-0811 is showing up, not the 0811-1. Should he call MFJ and ask them about that one?
Always best to call, guys and gals. Don't be cheap. Call. I hasten, and that's true with everything. This nonsense of I gotta order it online. No. Call the manufacturer and get the right parts. Otherwise, you might not get the right one and all that. Give them a buzz. Same thing with AES. You'll get things happening a lot faster if you do that.
All right, very good. And Gordo, one more question for you. This comes from Pierre, KM4WSJ. He asks, he has a 2-meter antenna on the house and wants to know if he can use it for his marine radio that he has in his shack. The analyzer gives him a 2.3:1 on the marine frequencies. Is that too high of an SWR to actually use the radio safely?
He'll certainly get great reception with a 2-meter 440 dual band antenna, or maybe just a straight 2-meter antenna on the 156 megahertz marine band. He could do a small handheld, but remember, if you're going to put a 25 water on a big antenna, you need that marine coast station license. And that's a real mama to try and get. But nonetheless, he can certainly monitor. And if he hears a distress on channel 16, he can use that antenna and his marine radio without any liability of a ticket, because in an emergency on any one of the distress channels, anything goes. So, no, he's not going to kill his radio.
All right. Good to know. There you go, Pierre. And other than that, I just have a few announcements tonight. We have the Tri-State Amateur Radio Association Hamfest. That's this Saturday, 8:30 to 1 p.m. in Huntington, West Virginia. Next one, we have Central Kentucky ARRL Hamfest, 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. also on Saturday. That's in Lexington, Kentucky. And as Gordo already mentioned, the Duke City Hamfest, which, Gordo, are you going to be visiting there as well?
Oh, I wish I could, but nope. I'm going to be chasing the big solars, as well as Aquariids, as well as Perseids. So nope, won't make that one. Wish I could.
All right. Well, if you guys are in the Albuquerque area, don't ask me to spell it. I tell you, go to that one, because that one's always a great time. That's where I first met Bob a few years ago. That was a really a blast, wouldn't you say, Jeff? All right. Other than that, let's go over some nets we have tonight. We have 14,268 for the 20-meter net, 71,92 for the 40-meter net, and 14, Charlie, I think we have a sub for net control tonight. We were missing our net control. Maybe he has already stepped back in. And that's 14, Charlie. And DMR, we have TAC 311. Oh, and I'm forgetting Echolink. Do drop in. You guys got a lot of nets to check into. If you got those thunderstorms around, you can skip the HF and go right to the digital net. So with that, that's all I have. I don't know who's wrapping it up, but I'll send it out there somewhere.
Hey, I wanted to say, before you leave, Gordo, that was a great report. There was a lot of information, and I would advise a lot of people to go look at the replay of what Gordon just did. And if you get a pencil and a paper, one of these things, and write some of that down. That was really great, Gordo, because it's stuff that you don't know, you don't hear a lot about. That's the problem, is there's just not enough information out there about chasing these things and how you can work moon bounce and so on. My first moon bounce was 1962 with that 128 element job, but haven't done any for many decades, but boy, it's thrilling when it happens. So congrats, you and the crew have a good time. Well, we've had a great time here tonight, and it's so good to have everyone back, and we'll be back here next week. Sarah and the team at High Isle Sound they're doing an eclipse party on the front lawn of High Isle Sound. I'll try to get some video of this. Fairview Heights is right in it, man. There are people streaming to go down to Carbondale, Illinois, which is just about 50 miles south of us there. So it's going to be a biggie, and we're really excited. So we'll keep you posted on that one. She's already got the glasses for everybody. I'm going to throw up a 40-meter antenna and see what I get. That'll be fun. I'll be recording it all, that's for sure. So until next week, we'll see you again right here on the Twit Network. Thanks to Leo Laporte. Brian, thanks for all you do for us. And Randy, thanks for being here. Really glad to see Valerie back, and Don, you're the best, and Gordo, keep it coming, all those great video and slides that you have, and Amanda ties it all together. 7-3 forever for right now from everybody, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye for now.